This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Business-filled minds, BFM 89.9.
Good evening. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Caroline and Uma. Now, Ted needs no introduction. Most of us have spent hours on end being inspired and getting our collective minds blown, watching their videos and listening to their podcasts. We've linked to them on Facebook. We've brought it up in dinner party and pretended to be very smart and erudite, at least appear to be. But a spin-off of Ted takes place right here in Kuala Lumpur this Saturday, the 9th of August. TEDxKL is an independently organized TED event that's been around since 2010. This year promises a great lineup of speakers, including the likes of Professor Danny Kwa, Dr. Angelica Lim, Fabian Bouhier, and Dennis Lau.
And Uma Paganabike Pagan.
Oh, it just so happened to be on that lineup as well. TEDxKL promises to be, yet again, another one-of-a-kind, eye-opening, intellectual, stimulating event, right? Mm-hmm. To talk us through this event this Saturday, we have with us Daniel Cervantes Lim, TEDxKL curator, as well as another one of our featured speakers, Ali Reza Yagubi, who's a designer, entrepreneur, as well as the CTO, am I right, of Ergo?
That's right.
That's right. So welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
So, Daniel, we'll start with you. Tell us, we've been around since 2009. Are you happy with how TEDxKL has evolved? From around, 200-300 people at Temple of Fine Arts to now possibly 3,000 people at the Calvary Convention Center?
We actually started our very first one over at Plug and Play in the gardens. We had about slightly above 50 people with Yasmin Ahmad.
Very nice.
That was 2000. Then it sort of became 200 people in Microsoft, and then it sort of grew from there. And it's always been quite humbling, the amount of interest. And the people are actually interested in what we do and what our presenters are doing, basically.
While it's been a humbling process, as you say, was this your objective, for it to gain traction and, of course, have the groups grow larger and larger and larger?
Yeah, it's actually one of our goals. We actually have two goals in TEDxKL. Firstly is we do know a lot of Malaysians cannot afford to go to TED. And it's a really expensive and really prestigious conference.
Yeah, TED costs a fortune. Yeah.
So we want to make it as accessible as possible for Malaysians to actually have experience what some fortunate individuals that can experience in TED.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so what kind of, intellectual space in Malaysia are you trying to fill with TEDxKL? What was your ambitions in setting it up?
Originally we didn't have much planned. We wanted to just hang out with people who have the same interest with us, that like to watch TED videos together. Then it sort of became a bit more, not only to provide that TED-like experience for Malaysians or people around the region who can't go to TED. One of the things that we aim to do is really act as a discovery platform for Malaysians to find out there's really a lot of cool stuff that are happening around Malaysia. And that's something that we want to actually help to curate that voice.
Right. So it's what is it? 150 ringgit to get in?
Is that correct? It's about 150 ringgit.
How do we arrive at that price? Because if you're trying to make it as accessible as possible, is that the sort of right price point?
So the very first one we had Yasmin Ahmad as our presenter, and mm-hmm. we had 200 over people registered.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened? That there was only about 50 over people that attend, and because it was free, it was sort of funded by myself.
Right.
And from then on, we actually have a few conversations with our mentors and stuff like that, and then we realized that we need to charge something for the public to actually have a commitment, a buy-in. It's actually below our cost because we are providing four meals the whole day of events and stuff like that. So this is something we want the audience to come in with a commitment, like, hey, I'm already invested, I want to come to attend.
How is it funded then?
Mostly it's a combination between the ticket price, it helps to fund part of it, and the other part is actually sponsor, and if worst case scenario, it's from my pocket.
Oh dear.
Which seems to be the case of most, event organizers in Malaysia, right?
Yeah, I'm just imagining, it's just that as it grows larger and larger, how many people can you afford to feed?
Yeah, so that's always a dilemma for us, because we can't, when it went up to about 400 people, that it's something that I couldn't afford it myself
of
already.
Course. Yeah. Are sponsors very willing to come on board?
We are very fortunate. We actually have some companies are very progressive, and some of them have been supporting us for throughout the year. So we are very fortunate about that. So they've been helping us out here and there, helping us to cover some of the cost. Yeah.
Right. Ali Reza, tell me, you are the designer of Airgo, which is described as an ergonomic passenger environment that is the future of airline seating.
That's cool or what?
It's very, very cool, but I'm going to ask you, just what is ergonomic passenger environments?
Okay. So the airline industry, it hasn't changed since the 1960s, I would say.
It's precisely.
Pretty much the same seat. And I mean, looking at the seat, it's not designed for a human. It's mostly designed for a box. Everything is in a rectangular shape.
Mm-hmm.
So what normally designers, they do is that they refer back to an old book, which is 50 year old. They grab the numbers and they put it, okay, how big should be the backrest, how big should be the armrest, and so on.
And I'm assuming this is based also on the sizes of people back in the 60s.
Of course, they take the average number and then they have the 5th percentile and 95th percentile, the rich and fit, and so on. But that's the old technology. Nowadays, you have the 3D scanning technology, so I can take you into a room, I have several cameras in different angles, I scan your whole body, put you into the computer. And then based on your body, I design the seat. Of course, we cannot design the seat for everyone. Mm-hmm. We, again, take the average human, but that helps a lot. And by doing that, we realized how backward the industry has been.
I'm surprised that it's backward because, you know, you do see articles and of, you know, new designs of planes coming out, and they do talk about their seating quite a bit. And seating has changed throughout the years to a degree.
I mean, those news that you're referring to, that's for the first class and the business class.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, 99% of people, they fly economy.
Of course.
And with the recent recession, even those who used to fly business class because the company was paying, they now have to fly economy.
Right.
So
you're thinking for the man on the street, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great challenge, but we are accepting it, and we think that we can do this because it's very much needed.
Right, but how difficult is it then to convince an industry that is so entrenched, and not just entrenched in all methods, but also the structures and systems have been in place for decades. It must cost a fortune to change everything.
Yeah, you're very right. I mean, we've been in talk with several airlines and they couldn't care less about passenger comfort because they say, okay, economy passengers, if you want to more comfort, just pay more, upgrade to business class. But they don't see that the gap is very huge. It's not that, okay, I simply put another extra $100 and I upgrade.
Yeah, it's about squeezing the bodies in.
That's right. So what we give them, what we give to the airlines, it's different. We say that, okay, the new materials that we use is a new carbon composite material, which is 50% lighter. So you save on fuel, you save on carbon tax. Mm. It is zero maintenance. It has self-cleaning properties, so you don't have to clean it and so on. And you can generate more money. And then we squeeze in the element of comfort in and the ergonomic design. So
who's saying no to that?
I that's ridiculous. Why would anyone say no to that? We're speaking to...
I mean, that's what I would talk about during the TED Talk, why the airlines hate you. I mean, hate us as the economy passengers.
Mm. Fantastic. Well, we're speaking to Daniel Cervantes Lim and Ali Reza Yagubi about TEDxKL, which takes place this Saturday, 9th of August. You can get tickets at www.tedxkl.com. You should do that right now. Pull your car up to a corner, take out your handphones, and buy some tickets. I'm just saying.
That was a hard sell.
It's a bit of a hard sell. We'll be back after Girls Who Play Guitars, Maximo Park on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, this is the evening edition. Caroline and Uma with you today. We're talking about TEDxKL, a yearly event started in 2009. This year's event takes place Saturday, that's this Saturday, the 9th of August. We've got Daniel Cervantes Lim, he's the TEDxKL curator, as well as Ali Reza Yagubi, he's a designer, entrepreneur, also the CTO of Airgo, which has kind of revolutionized or attempting to revolutionize airplane seating.
Yep, indeed. So let's talk about the curation process for a little bit. Now, we mentioned a little earlier that Uma is on the panel. Now, of course, I understand why you would want Uma. There's no such thing as too much Uma.
Yeah, it took me 3 years, basically.
Yeah, to pin him down, isn't it?
Thank you, Caroline.
He's that
I'll
busy a man.
I'll pay you later. Yes.
And so I understand
like
why there's a lot of love. But how do you curate who speaks?
So every year is a bit different. So we tend to look at the team, the general team, and we try to find presenters that actually fit within the team. So this year's theme is the open future. And we wanted to... So So there are always presenters that we, in our list, that we maintain a list about like 2,000 presenters that we want. There are a few, like Uma, for example, that we've been trying to get for a very long time. So, and so we tend to go through this and try to see which one actually fit and match. And then our other presenters also nominate a few other, few of their peers that are doing amazing stuff. So we tend to go through that also.
Mm-hmm.
Ali Reza actually came in through our audition, so he was actually nominated from the public in our website, TEDxKL. You can actually go and nominate a presenter, could be yourself or could be someone else, and that's one of the ways that we actually seek out new presenters, essentially.
Right. Well, was it interesting? I mean, considering that process, and you got people to, you know, have their say. So Ali Reza, for example, was somebody was chosen. Were you surprised by the kind of choices you were receiving, the kind of requests?
Yeah, some of them we were really shocked, actually. We were really shocked at this kind of research are being done in Malaysia. Like, for example, Ego, we saw it over in ABC News. We saw it all over online. It was a very viral sensation. Mm-hmm. But we didn't know the designer is in
that he was right in our backyard.
Yeah, exactly.
Very cool. Very, very cool. Tell me, Daniel, do you have a kind of, I guess, mental space where you have a quota saying, oh, there has to be this many Malaysians every year and then this many international speakers, or do you just let it take its natural course?
We tend to want to feature more Malaysians, and regardless whether they are based in Malaysia or outside of Malaysia. This year we tend to have a number of presenters that are Malaysians but they are not based in Malaysia. So because our point is really to go and find Malaysians doing amazing stuff. So that is something that we've been searching around. And
is it difficult to find Malaysians doing amazing things?
It's difficult if we want to fit it to the team. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, but usually throughout the years we'll be trying to collect. And there's a lot of amazing Malaysians out there.
So when it comes to the theme, though, the open future, like you said, who comes up with the theme? Is there kind of like a universal TED thing, or are you given free reign to?
We are given free reign. We used to mirror what TED does. So there was a point in time where TED actually had what does the world need, and then TEDxKL was what does Malaysia need. And but we are given free reign. So this year we felt that there was a lot of negativity around Malaysia.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to just showcase that the future is open, actually. There's a lot of stuff, there's a lot of possibilities, there's a lot of hope. And that's where we actually came out with the open future.
A more inspirational theme, I suppose.
Mm.
Yeah.
Ali Reza, we were talking about the work you do and I guess the uphill battle of convincing airlines they need to change their ways and make life easier for passengers. Mm-hmm. I wanted to talk to you about this ideation process. So you had an idea, clearly. You saw a problem that needed fixing and you came up with an idea to solve it. Now, a lot of people have good ideas, but they don't know what to do next. So what did you do after that? I mean, you had this great idea. How did you bring it to fruition? How did you take that next step?
Mm. Well, I mean, when you come up with a new idea, you always have this question. Is it a really good idea? Is this really a valid solution that I'm providing for a certain problem? Then the best thing for you is just to take part in, for example, if you're designing something, take part in a design competition and see what other people have to say about you. Now, I took part in the James Dyson competition and I won the regional award for Malaysia. And this year, every year around the same time, we have the deadline. Probably you still have 5 days. If you have an idea, you can go to the website, jamesdysonaward.com, and try to participate in the design award.
And in doing that, do they help fund the project, for example?
They don't fund, but what you can find out is that, as I said, that it's a external validation for your idea, because you might have very crazy idea. Like I had a friend and said, I have this idea, a watch that works by, instead of a battery, it uses water.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, that's a good idea. I'm not sure how practical that can be.
Or how viable the idea is. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, the James Dyson Foundation, they give an award. If you win the international award, you can get up to £30,000, I guess, and they give the same
Which is enough for some prototyping.
Yeah, I mean,
I guess.
It's good. Yeah, probably. But more than that, the publicity that it gives to you, I mean, the validation. So you know that, okay, this is a serious thing, so I have to spend more time on this, maybe get around with a few friends. Yeah.
So what will you be speaking about on Saturday? How will you be spending your 18 minutes?
Well, it will be probably much less than 18 minutes. It's going to be a very brief talk, but mostly like to answer that question that we just asked. Okay, why is that the airlines hate their economy passengers? And then we explore that. Okay, this relationship goes both ways. You hate them in the same way and they hate you back. So, and,
so how do we come up with a more productive relationship?
Yeah. I mean, I think the solution is pretty clear, but we're going to talk about that here in the TED. So,
All right. Well, if you want to hear his solution, you're going to have to come to TED on Saturday.
And is it 18 minutes for everyone? Is that how that works?
So that's the, is that the absolute limit, Daniel?
No, that's the guideline generally. So 18 minutes is usually what most TED Talks are. Mm-hmm. So, but the most impactful talks that I've experienced so far, they are always around 5 minutes to 10 minutes, basically. Right. So those are the sweet spot that we're trying to aim for.
Yeah. Just out of curiosity, how long is your talk, Omar?
At the moment, mine's at about 11 minutes when I practiced in front of a mirror.
Okay. When you bring it down to 10, it might be the most impactful
talk. It's interesting because you can talk for 45 minutes. Trying to craft your idea down to 10 minutes is a lot harder than actually talking for 45 minutes or an hour.
Word economy is difficult.
It is difficult. As you well know, you've been doing this job with me for over 3 years now, Caroline. We're speaking to Daniel Cervantes-Lim and Ali Reza Yagoubi. After the news, we'll get a little bit into, I guess, the meta of TED about cultivating a culture of ideas and innovation in Malaysia and what role Daniel hopes to play in doing that. But first, the House Martins Happy Hour on BFM 89.9.
We're on when you're off. Evening Edition on BFM 89.9.
Good evening. I'm Umar Paganampakepagan.
And I'm Caroline O.
This is the Evening Edition. Today, we're talking to you about TEDx KL, a yearly event that takes place right here in Kuala Lumpur. It is taking place this Saturday, the 9th of August. You can get tickets at www.tedxkl.com.
Yep, so stop your cars and log on right now and get yourself some tickets.
On your phones and, you know, buy yourself some tickets. Yep. It's going to be an event of, I guess, great intellectual stimulation. It's got lots of speakers, Professor Danny Kwa, Dr. Angelica Lim, Fabian Bouhier. Yeah, I've got one of the speakers right here with us, Ali Reza Yagoubi. He's a designer, entrepreneur. He's the CTO of Ergo, which is going to change the face of travel as we know it. We've also got Daniel Cervantes-Lim from TEDxKL. He's the curator of the event. We've covered quite a lot, but the one thing we haven't spoken about, Daniel, is, I guess, this idea of inculcating a culture of ideas and innovation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is what the whole TED movement is about. It's supposed to be all these ideas that inspire people to change, right? How do you think we're coming along as a nation on that front?
I think in Malaysia, there's definitely there's two sides. In any nation, that you look, there's actually two sides to the story. I can't remember who quoted, but the future is actually now. But it's not evenly distributed. Was it Ray Kurzweil? I think
it might be. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that quote. Yeah.
And there's a lot of things that are happening in Malaysia that the general public are not clearly aware of. And these are some people who are pushing in terms of cutting edge of technology, cutting edge of in design or art and etc. And take a good example is the Georgetown Fest, basically. And it's mostly visited by people outside of Malaysia, if I'm not mistaken. And it's quite a pity that Malaysians in general are not really there to support this kind of thing. So,
as it's so exciting, why do you think the support isn't as vibrant as it could be?
I think it could be a generally awareness about it. Definitely, they know certain part of it. Like a lot, one of the advantage that we had that actually is people actually know what TED is, and that is a jumping off point. So we use that to actually showcase what is available in Malaysia. But I think there's a lot of very interesting platform that hasn't had that opportunity to actually feel for presenters, basically. They have amazing things that they are doing, but they don't have enough exposure, and that's something that we want to try to create for them.
Right. Well, give us an idea of what we can expect at TEDxKL this Saturday. Just give us a few highlights. Who's coming? What are they doing?
There's
18 speakers.
Yeah, there's 18 presenters, ranging from 11-year-old pianist prodigy Madeline Ho, really excited to actually watch her performance, to Angelica Lim, who is a robot. She actually creates robots with emotions, essentially.
And she's a Malaysian that's based out of Japan?
No, she's a Canadian.
She's Canadian.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Then Professor Danny Kwa, of course, there's someone that I'm really excited to actually having on stage. So there'll be a mixture of performances, there'll be a mixture of talks and some stimulating ideas and et cetera, and there'll be some activities all around.
All right. And Alireza, I was going to ask you what you hope to, I guess, well it's two questions. One, what you hope to gain from the TEDx Scale experience, and also what you hope the audience gains from your particular presentation.
Right. Well, I mean, we're hoping to put up a case, I guess. I would say that, okay, people deserve to have a better flight experience in the future, and this has to be part of the open future theme, I guess.
Hear, hear.
Same here, yeah.
Yeah, so I think we want to be in contact with people. We want people to be a part of this, part of the design process, help us, okay, what are they suffering the most from in the flight experience? We have been talking to many different people. We don't only go talk to the CEO of airlines, we talk to the cabin crew sometimes, mm-hmm. because they are the people who have to clean after you. So most of it, our inspirations come from people and those who are involved with that environment. So I'm hoping to get more ideas and at the same time put up the case for a better flight experience for everyone.
Right, and what do you hope to? What do you hope the people take away? What do you hope the audience takes away from your presentation? I guess you hoping to start a revolution where you know everyone gets up, all 3,000 people are like, I'm writing a letter to my airline.
I mean, there are things that are happening around us, but they're so subtle that you do not notice what's happening exactly. So I will pose a few questions, like there will be a few messages that you just go back. And then you realize, hey, that's actually very true. I've never thought of that. And we will leave you with that question, but we'll come back in 2 years when we're launching our seats, and then you will see the solution to those questions.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, we can only hope. Daniel, what do you hope, why is TEDx Scale important to you in the Malaysian context?
I guess I mentioned this earlier, and for me, it's really a platform of discovery and There's a lot of very interesting people out there, and doing TEDx Scale for the past few years, it's something that's very, very challenging personally, but it's something that I'm so interested in. Learning from Alireza, I learned so much about the airline industry, talking to Professor Danny Kwa. So personally, is something very empowering to me.
Gives you great satisfaction.
Yeah, it does. But at the same time, the feedback from the audience is actually remarkable, and the past audience so far, they've been very encouraging for us to actually expand further to try to create more, bring more stories on stage. So that's one of the things that keep us going.
I mean, with that in mind, though, how, I guess, easy or hard has it been convincing Malaysians then to, you know, dish out the 150 ringgit and come for the event? Has it gotten easier over the 5 years you've been doing this?
Slightly easier. I say it won't be so much of an incremental, so much of an exponential thing. It's very tiny increments, but it's we hope to get there. I mean, just in comparison, the TED ticket is multiple times beyond this. And even regionally, I think we are one of the cheapest.
Well, look at it this way, Daniel. You know, we're all very last minute as a nation. Friday night is when I think you'll see a spike in sales, right? that's when it's all going to happen. Where do you see TEDx Scale in 5 years?
We are still. I think one of the things that I learned from Chris Anderson is basically in terms of this is the thing that we discuss, and this is what he does best. Looking at what happened in the last one and finding out what works and what doesn't, and try to bring something out next year. So we want to take a very Kaizen approach to this, instead of actually planning out 5 years like, oh, we're going to be the biggest in Southeast Asia. We are definitely the biggest in Southeast Asia at the moment, but we're not going to be the biggest in the world. We definitely do not want to aim that, because I felt the conversation should be a bit more intimate or something. So we want to try to find ways to create more conversation.
Right. Alireza, tell me before I let you go, what are you most looking forward to on Saturday? Who are you most looking forward to here, other than myself?
Well, of course.
Oh, dear. Really.
It's a mutual admiration society, yeah, Caroline. I'm looking forward to Alireza. Sure,
there's a lot of admiration coming from me, don't worry.
Yeah, I mean, of course, I totally support him. He's my first choice.
Thank you very much.
Same here.
Second choice, Alireza.
Don't tell Ezra.
Professor Danny Kwa, I'm generally interested in economics and all that.
No, I'm very excited about Professor Danny Kwa. I believe he has been interviewed on BFM before, and it was very, very good, so I can't wait to see him on stage. Daniel, one last plug. Tell people why they should come to TEDxKL this Saturday and where they can buy tickets.
If you want to get tickets, go head over to TEDxKL.com. So just click on the site. If you are interested to actually meet 18 plus 2,000 over amazing people, because the audience are really amazing. So come over this Saturday, 9th of August.
Yeah. Cool. Well, Daniel...
You might get to meet Uma and Ali.
That's right. There we go. Daniel Cervantes Lim and Ali Reza Yagoubi of TEDxKL. That event again, folks, Saturday, 9th of August. That's this Saturday. You can go to TEDxKL.com to buy your tickets. Coming up after this, Stephen Malkmus and the Jicks, Lariat on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.